Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sokala Duma Radio, and in this exciting episode we speak to Bafana striker and Azerbaijani league champion Dino Ndlovu.
Sokala Duma Radio.
We have Dino Ndlovu in the house for Sokala Duma Radio. I'm excited to host this man. Dino, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I cannot complain. I'm good, man.
You just scored a brace in a 3-0 win, and that officially sealed it for your team to win the league officially. How does it feel, and how were the celebrations when you guys officially won the league?
For me, it was an overwhelming experience because, as you know, this team we played against that we won 3-0, we haven't beat them this season. So we played them three times. We drew with them one time and they've beaten us two times. So we are licking them for the fourth time. So for this year, it was a very difficult team to beat. So we had an enormous task, a hill to climb to really beat them. So I think we had a desire and more correct to win this game than them, you know, because we knew what was at stake. It was do or die. So at the end of the day, we became victorious.
Mm. And what is it about Inter Baku that was difficult? Because, I mean, your main rivals are usually, you play for Karabakh, and your main rivals are the team that you're going to be meeting in the final, FK Kabala. So what is it about Inter Baku that was difficult for you guys to beat them, and you eventually beat them in the final in the previous game?
I think for us, each and every team that plays against us, you know, they make it difficult to play against us because of it. In Azerbaijan, we like I would make an example with like Barcelona. We control the tempo and the speed of the game the whole time. So most of the teams, they come with tactical plans and tactical strategy to avoid us beating them with higher score or, you know, making counter attacks against us. So Inter, I think for this year, I think they've made that quite well, and, you know, to stop us to playing our normal game. So that's why we couldn't beat them. So, and eventually we did.
Mm, and you nicely sealed the win by posting a very emotional Instagram message. And in the message, I will read a couple of lines. It says, I remember the one said I'm not good enough, but I've never stopped believing. No matter what the circumstances, we all have a purpose to serve God. God is great. Together we can. I'm nothing without the love of God. Hashtag. So that you then, that for me, that is an expression of a lot of bottled up emotion. You constantly trying to prove yourself. Tell us about the message on the Instagram.
The message on Instagram was me trying to explain to my followers the feeling I had. You know, when you're a footballer and you don't achieve anything, or you don't win what you feel like you're supposed to win, and that feeling comes that you help your team to, you know, clinch still the title two games before the season finish. It always has, you know, that spirit and that feeling that, you know, you did it, you've done it, you know. But for me, I feel that most of my entire career, I haven't been given a clear chance, you know, to really express and display my talent. So there is a lot of stuff that I can talk about, but, you know, for me, it's all in the past. I played professional and I became who I am because I was good enough. But, you know, there's always people who have their own opinion about who is Dino, how is Dino's play, how is Dino's this, and we have their own opinion. But I cannot stop that. They're entitled to their own opinion. And at the end of the day, I proved myself right. I was not going out here or playing soccer or winning the title to prove anyone wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, for you to because we recently at Sokala Duma we wrote an article, and Joe Crane wrote this article, and we were highlighting South Africans that were in line to win something, and there were very few of them. Our players generally are not doing well abroad, and you are one of the shining lights holding the flag high for South Africa. And there were seven players there, and you were in for the league and the cup double. So you've done the cup, you've done the league, and you will be playing against one of your biggest rivals in the final. Just take me through the cup throughout. How has it been, the cup run for you, and what do you anticipate in the final?
It's been a really a bit tough. You know, when you win the league the first time, the second time, when you're a winner, and basically when you get to used to winning, they lose the desire, they lose, you know, the hunger to win more. So I think our coach has been a really good force behind our success for the past few years, you know, because we have won the league for the fourth time in a row. So he's been, you know, I think a pillar of strength in terms of, you know, guiding us, giving the courage, you know, telling us, you know, we need to feel like it's the first time we're going to win it. So if any of the players in the team doesn't feel the same he feels, then they don't deserve to be to win the Karabakh T-shirt. So that, you know, it helped us more on encouraging each and every player, you know, going into the last game against Inter. So now it's really sad that I think yesterday our coach's mother passed away. So we haven't had a chance to speak with him because today we're gonna start training in about an hour. So we haven't prepared or had any chance to speak about the cup. But now we're preparing for the last two games of the league. And as I said, it's back to business. I mean, we prepared the same as we prepared before against the other teams.
Mm. And do you have any concerns about Kabala when you look at them, because they're also participating in the Europa League as yourselves? Is it a team that is intimidating from the league ties that you've played so far this season with them? Is it an intimidating team? Is it one of the teams that makes it difficult for you guys?
For me personally, Kabala they have a good team. They have a good structure, a good academy. But for me, I believe that there are teams that have used their chances more perfect than other teams we played against. You know, for example, when we play against other teams, the quality is there, but it's not as better as good as Kabala have. You know, when there's no team in this league that can beat us pound to pound. You know, the only thing they can do is play a counter-attack football. So at Kabala, they've beaten us with mistakes. I remember the past game when they beat us 2-0 in their home pitch. They never did anything. They beat us 2-0, but we created more chances than them, and we had more ball position than them. But at the end, we did only two mistakes, and they capitalized on those mistakes, and they beat us 2-0, and that was it. Besides that, I think for us, it's much important if we will make less mistakes than this cup final. The more mistakes, the less mistakes we're going to make, I think the better chances we have to win the double.
Yeah, like to part with the final question, like I said, there were quite a few South Africans that are, I'm just going to make a mention, comment in passing that you one of the shining lights, and we want you to win the final next month, no matter what, because we need positive news from our players abroad. We'll then move right along to your personal form. I think you were the second top goal scorer in the league with 9 goals, and only second to one player that got 11 goals. And let's talk about you, your form. What do you make of your output so far this season in the Europa League? And because you scored 1 goal in the Europa League, you scored 9 league goals. So how would you then rate Udino Ndlovu so far this season?
For me, I think I've improved as a team player this year. You know, if you can compare my numbers last year and this year, they're a bit different. I think last year I scored 19 and this year 14. I think what our coach has done is he helped me to improve to be a team player than an individual player, because of the mentality I had for my previous club is when I got inside the box, I couldn't think about, you know, passing other player. I was struggling. When you're inside the box, you need to take the risk of scoring. So this year, I think I've a bit opened the gap to improve mentally, to like sort of you know, help the team than helping myself. But, you know, individual achievements are always, you know, there, and they make me happy. But for me, I'm happy that we won the league. If it happens that I can be the English scorer of the week, it will be also a good experience and it will add it to my CV and my profile. But it's not one of the things that I put into mind that I'm going out there this last 3 games to be scoring goals and be the leading goal scorer now.
Mm. And when you look at how the team fared in Group J in the Europa League, you were playing in the same group as Fiorentina from Italy and POAK from Greece. You guys came out third place, and you just needed one win in order to progress through to the next round, which didn't happen. Your goal came against Fiorentina in a 5-1 loss. Throughout that journey, because I remember watching you in 2 games, we had the privilege to be able to at least see you guys when you were playing in the Europa League. Throughout that journey, would you say that your team is doing how much when you rate the strength of your team against the Fiorentinas and the PAOKs, how much would you rate your team?
I think PAOK, we were much better than them. In every capacity, you know, that's why we beat them home and away. But with Fiorentina, you know, it's really difficult to play against Italian teams. And I think Fiorentina, they were good on paper, and they were good. They had a good experience and confidence, you know. So I think in terms of talent, we matched the talent we had. So it was vital for us to have the same strength and the same experience and confidence, but that game, in those 2 games, I think we didn't have those. And they came victorious, they became better than us, and they beat us 5-1, and they beat us 2-1 at home. But I think this year is going to be a good year for us, because we want to qualify for Champions League, and hopefully it will be a good one if we qualify for Champions League, because it's been a vision of the club for the past 4 years because of Champions League, but it hasn't happened. But I believe this year it will do, because of the club need to open a checkbook to buy about 4 or 5 players to come help us, you know, to qualify for the Champions League.
Mm. And you sound then, with your last few sentences, you sound like a person that is at a stable place. Your career has taken a nomadic form in terms of where you've been and how long you've been able to stay at clubs. You were playing in Cyprus just recently last season, and you did really well there. You had played in a couple of teams in South Africa, SuperSport, Mpumalanga Black Aces. You've been in Israel. You played for Celtics. You played for Mamelodi Sundowns. So your original contract was 2 years for Karabakh, and this year or the beginning of the next season would symbolize your last 12 months in the team. So you're talking about UEFA Champions League, and that sounds like you're a person that wants to stay with the team. Take me through your plans for the future.
I think my journey since 2008 until now, it's been, you know, a very, very difficult journey until now. But, you know, I think, I won't say it's a curse, but I think it's never been an advantage, or I've never had a lucky enough to stay in the team more than 1.5 years. And I don't blame anyone, you know. So I don't know what's going to happen next season. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm happy with my club. I still have a 1 year running. And I think in a week or two, we're going to sit down and talk about the future with me, with the club, because they're really happy with me. But for what's going to happen next season, I don't know. But for sure, we have spoken about the new contract, and we'll see how that unfolds.
I mean, we'll keep track of that scenario, because obviously your stay at your current team will determine whether or not you play for the UEFA Champions League next season. And good luck on that. I want to bring something to your attention, in that you seem to perform really well when you were in Europe than when you are in South Africa. And I say that because you played for SuperSport United and Black Aces on loan from Maccabi Haifa. You've played over 30 games for both of those sides, and you scored less than 5 league goals. Now, it's interesting and flabbergasting as well, because why would someone perform better in Europe than they would perform in their home ground, in South Africa, in their homeland?
To be honest, I've worked with good coaches in South Africa. But, you know, each and every player needs love. If your coach gives you love. I think it's where each and every player can blossom to be the best they can be. So for everywhere I played in Europe, I was fortunate enough to have, you know, been coached by coaches that showed me love. And they showed me love in a sense of pushing me to be a better me. So at the end of the day, that's what I could perform to where I am. And I felt important. I felt part of the team. So coming back to your question, I think when I'm in South Africa, I became in a comfort zone, and it really pushed me backwards than going forward. And I never performed to where I can or the way I wanted to be, because of I never fitted in the terms of the plans of the team that I was playing for, or I never felt important in the team. That's why I think for me it really pushed me to never achieve or never played it to the best ability.
Because I think another thing about the situation, your situation, because it's an interesting situation, it's an intriguing one that a player would do well overseas as opposed to home. And it brings about, because fans will talk, and when they talk, they bring about different angles. And that's why you wrote an emotional Instagram, because they are fans and some are haters. Some of them will say that the reason why you have been performing is because South African League is better than the leagues that you've been playing in Cyprus and in Azerbaijan. How would you respond to that?
For me, as I said, everyone has their own, they are entitled to their own opinion. If South Africa, the South African League is more stronger than the leagues that I've been playing for, why South African teams are even, only Sundowns and Pirates have the star, and they've played well in the CAF or African Champions League. So why are the African teams haven't taken that seriously? So the teams I played for before, I played Europa League, I played Champions League qualifying, and I've done well for those teams. And so I don't care whoever says what I played where, it doesn't matter. For me, at the end of the day, I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I can do, or else I wouldn't be where I am today. At the end of the day, everyone is entitled to his own opinion or her own opinion. I've achieved whatever I needed to achieve, and I'm still going to achieve more. Whether they say yes or no, it's not in their place to stick their nose in my business or whatever, but they are fans. I cannot change or direct or, you know, control whatever they want to say.
And I mean, that's then a very good attitude to have when you're in the industry that you're working on, because there will always be detractors. There will always be people that don't see your work for good, I suppose. Moving on from that, I have a comment that was attributed to you, and I'm transitioning now from that part of the conversation to the national team part of the conversation. There's a comment that was attributed to you. I don't want you to dwell too much on the comment. I just want to have an update of where you are now in your mindset when you're looking at the national team. The comment that was attributed to you was, I am not happy. I'm not doing this to create a fight. If I'm not in the team, I don't want to ask myself questions as why am I being overlooked. And that was your comment when you were talking about the national team. At the time, Sheikh Mashaba was the coach and he wasn't playing you. You said that in this article, you say that you were doing exactly what he asked for you to do in training, but it still was not playing you. As such, you felt that there's no point for you to be making yourself available for the national team. What is Dino Ndlovu's current status, and what does he see and hope for the national team and his involvement?
Look, for me, South Africa has done so much for me. It's always a pleasure. I feel emotional. All the time when I get a call out to national team, I feel emotional and I get happy. You know, it's something, as I said, the feeling that no one can take away from me. You know, but at the end of the day, I felt that I was not given a fair chance than other players were being called, you know. And as I said, I didn't have any problem with anyone. I respected everyone in the national team, whether it's the technical team, the players, everyone around, you know, the staff. I've never had problems with anyone. But at the end of the day, sometimes you need to speak or say what you see and how you feel. And at the end of the day, I felt that, you know, when I'm in the national team, my final point is different when I was in the under 20, you know, when I was in under 23, it's a different, you know, level. you know, I felt that they wanted to treat me or treat us as we are young boys, you know. If you are men enough, you come to me and tell me, like, hey, you know, I don't like 1, 2, 3. I don't like this, what this. I need you to improve in this and this and this and this and this. Understand? So I know if I'm not playing the national team, you came to me and tell me what's the reason why I'm not playing. You call me, but I was not doing what you expect me to do in training. So, but not keep quiet all the time. You're calling me and you're doing the opposite of what you're saying to me. So at the end of the day, my state as a national team, I'm always available for the national team. I said it before, as long as the previous coach is still the coach, I'm not available because of our misunderstanding, not because we fought or something. I never had a problem with him, but because of the misunderstandings. And I don't want to dwell on it that much. But as I said, well, we'll see who the new coach, and if he needs me in the national team, I'll be available.
Let's talk about that a little bit further, but I don't want to dwell too much on it, but a little bit further in terms of going forward. Kamohelo didn't avail himself as well. He almost changed nationality. That was then sorted out by the Home Affairs, and fortunately he's playing for South Africa now. He's a South African citizen. If you were to encounter the same situation again, do you think that it's wise to no longer avail yourself for the national team? Or is there a different way in which these kind of things should be dealt with?
I'll be honest with you. It's fair to distinguish what I'm saying now. For me, if I will encounter the same situation I encountered before, I think it will be much respectable if I would, you know, just backpedal. I would just say, you know, it's fine. I think I'm not needed, and I'll just do a focus on my club level, and I will wish everyone in the national team and in the country good luck. But at the end of the day, because what I said before in my previous interviews, picking up the question just asked me about what's my status in the national team, I said I didn't have any problem with the previous coach. I said the only thing is he was supposed to be more open about what he thinks or what was the situation regarding me not playing and what I was doing well for my club. You know, that was the only statement that I was doing well, but his mom on everything that I was doing. So that if the coming coach will never play me, but he's more open and he's learned enough to come to forefront and say, you know, this is what this 1, 2, 3, this 3, 4, 5, then I will respect him enough to come and work my stuff off. But if you keep quiet, then he's showing me that he gives me the middle finger, you know. I felt that way.
And do you think that you would be objective enough to, when you called to the national team, to see Indumiso Mabena playing for Bafana Bafana and him scoring, and you be patient to not play in 5 consecutive games, traveling all the way from Europe to sit on the bench? But would you be able to be objective and say, you know what, Mabena is scoring for the national team, Phakamani Mahlambi is scoring for the national team, so he needs to play more than I need to play?
The question is, was he scoring more than me in the club level? This is the question I can ask first.
No, I'm saying when you call to the national team, and then when he scores in the national team, like, so you called, you're playing against Zambia, he plays first, and you
can
are...
Can I be honest? Mm-hmm. For me, it's my own opinion. For me, it's my own opinion. I think the players who have been called in the national team is the players who are doing well for that. So for me, if I'm doing well in training and I'm doing better than the other players, I think I deserve a chance to get the starting 11. Irrespective of who was before in the team for me, you know. So if Dumiso Mabena will come and do well before me and he's doing well, then what's the fuss? I won't cry about it because of he's doing better than me in the national team, you know. But that's never been the case. That's never been the case.
So you always feel like you've been better in training, particularly you've been better than the strikers that have been called in front of you but have not been played.
Student.
All right.
I feel that, you know, for everyone who there, you know, there's a lot of, I can say whatever I want to say, but at the end of the day, I feel that since I've been coming to the national team, I've been doing well for my team, and I've never been given a chance to even get enough chance to prove myself, you know, and other people have been getting chances numerously, they've been getting chances, whether they perform in club level or not. But they've been getting those chances. Why not me? Why that question was never posed? Why that question was never posed to the previous coach? That why didn't you doing well to his in his club and he's not getting chance in the national team, but you call him but he's on the bench.
No, I think it's one of the things that was demanded from Coach Sheikh Mashaba, that he needed to go and watch the overseas players playing. And he needs to play them. But I'm not going to be his spokesperson. He knows why he was not playing you guys. And that's water under the bridge now. We move on from that. And we hope all the best for you guys to participate in the national team. Qualify us for the World Cup. Qualify us for Cameroon in 2019. And that's all we need from our players. And I appreciate your honesty in that regard. What are your final words for South African friends that are keeping track in your career abroad?
For me, I would say... thank you. Whether if they've been keeping track and they've been sharing their comments, whether it's negatively or positively, it has built me, you know, in the right direction, and it has helped me so far. And they must keep on writing. Whatever they're entitled to have their own opinion, they can write whatever they want to write, and they can carry on supporting me as they did. Because without them, I'm nothing. But anyway, I'm happy. And as I said, you know, without God. We have no direction.
All right, Dino Ndlovu, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Sokala Duma
Radio. Well, I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Catch us on another episode of Sokala Duma Radio.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.